Good morning. Today we're going to look at Mark 10, verses 32 to 52. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we openly confess that the word of God will come forth boldly and truthfully during this Zoom time, and that we would hear your word and be inspired by the Holy Spirit. Give us revelations of your scripture. Use me, Lord, as your vessel. So now let's continue to read Mark 10, 32 to 52. So have a time to look it up and turn to Mark.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up when you got there. Okay. So we're looking at Jesus again predicts his death. They were on the way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise." Then we look at the request of James and John. "Then James and John and the sons of Zebedee came to him. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we want you to do for us whatever we ask.' And Jesus said, 'What do you want me to do for you?' he asked. They replied, 'Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory.' Jesus answered, 'You don't know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with baptism I'm baptizing with?' They answered, 'We can.' Jesus said to them, 'You will drink the cup I drink, be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared.' When the 10 heard about this, they became very upset, indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, 'You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many.'" And then we look into blind Bartimaeus receives his sight. "Then Jesus came to Jericho as Jesus and the disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city, and a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So they called to the blind man, 'Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you.' Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked him. The blind man said, 'Rabbi, I want to see.' 'Go,' said Jesus, 'your faith has healed you.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road." So what today, the title of my message is, what do you want from Jesus? Because he asked that question. So as I was reading this passage of scripture, I thought of the question that Jesus was asking. So let me share. In verse 35, it talks about James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus' teacher. They said, "We want you to do for us whatever we ask." So Jesus asked the question, "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other on your left in glory." Jesus answered, "You don't know what you're asking because you don't understand. You know, you can drink the cup I drink or baptize with the baptism I baptize with." They said, we can. And Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized, but not to sit at my right hand or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those whom they have been prepared." So James and John were so eager to be with Jesus. They were tempted. They had an ambitious, self-exalted attitude, but they really wanted to be with him, you know. And this was selfish request, seeking the best places next to Jesus. But who wouldn't want to be close to Jesus? We want to be close to Jesus. You know, that's our heart. We want to be close to Jesus. Also, their mother requested the same worldly ambition request. Jesus also asked her the same question. "What do you want me to do?" You know. So she had this ambitious desire that her sons would sit beside Jesus in glory in his new kingdom. And it says in the word that also Satan exalted himself. He wanted to be worshipped in Isaiah 14:14. He wanted to make himself like the Most High. But God says, "God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble," in James 4:6. So James, he got it. He wrote that, so praise God. But this was an unwise request, and the prayers asked, these sometime refused because it's not according to the Father's will and the divine will of God, what the mother of John and James asked. These requests were not in line with the Father's will. These are for who the Father rewards of the faithful, and we know that Jesus sits on the right hand of God. So also Jesus was asking about taking the cup that I took, and that's about the persecution, I believe. So the church will be persecuted because in Revelations 2:10, and they spoke to the church of Samara, I'm not very good with words, but and it said, "Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison and test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death. I will give you a crown of life." So it's happening around the world. Persecution is happening around the world as I'm speaking. In countries like Afghanistan recently, the bombings and what's happening in Afghanistan, Mozambique, Christians are being beheaded, killed for Jesus, and they're like their martyrs. They're being persecuted because they're standing up for Jesus. Freedom of speech is being challenged. You can't really preach on the streets. You'll be fined or arrested because of Jesus. So in Matthew 10:17, it says, "Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to local councils and flog you in their synagogues." This time, Christians need to stand and rise up in these times. We are living in for the truth of Jesus Christ, and pray and be together in unity. In John 3:20, it says, "Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than their master. If they persecute me, they will persecute you also. If they obey my teaching, they will obey me also." So James and John had no idea what Jesus was about to endure at the cross. He tried to explain to them as he was predicting his death, but they just didn't get it at that time. And when they asked to be sitting with the kingdom with him, the other disciples heard about this and they got really upset. They got really jealous. They thought it was pretty selfish that they would ask. But even though they would love to be with him too, we all want to be with him, you know. So then Jesus spoke to them about the principles and the spiritual kingdom. Jesus warned not to lord it over those entrusted to you, but be examples of the flock, showing humility, serving like Jesus as a servant king. So we are called to serve one another. Jesus spoke in Mark 10:43, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. About humbleness, I had a cleaning job in a school from kindy to high school. I learned about being humble, especially cleaning the toilet blocks, because it's pretty bad. Okay. Also, I've helped people in times of needs. Like one girl I knew, I helped to get nits out of her hair, and I didn't get any, thank goodness. I worked in a childcare centre where anything could happen, you know, dirty nappies, you name it, anything kids do. So God humbled me working with that sort of environment. Anyway, so he does humble us in these times of, you know, and when he calls us to do things that we don't particularly want to do, but we say, Lord, it's for you. We surrender. So, right. Hope I'm not too heavy for you guys, but the next person that we're going to look at is the blind Bartimaeus. Now, he had the same question asked. So what we're going to do, we're looking at Bartimaeus, is a blind beggar was sitting along the road begging. He heard that Jesus and his disciples were leaving the city. So he began to shout out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Many told him, be quiet, shh. He shouted even more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stopped and told the disciples to call him. So they called the blind man, cheer up, get on your feet, he's calling you. So he got up and he came to Jesus. He threw his cloak aside, which was his only possession, and he jumped up and he came to Jesus. Like he was blind and he knew who Jesus was. Like he was blind. He knew he was the Son of David. He spoke, Son of David. He knew who Jesus was. And he was blind. So Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Rabbi, I want to see. God goes, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. So Bartimaeus had a great faith. He knew who Jesus was and he was blind. So I was reflecting on the purpose of Jesus' time as he's walking through. It is prophesied in Isaiah 61 about Jesus that he's going to come forth, like, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. But in Luke 4, it's written again, 17:18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. So the blind man knew who he was because that was his purpose in time. Because in the Old Testament, it was spoken that he had come to set the captives free. So he got healed. He knew who he was. That's how I feel anyway. So I'm thinking of a beautiful hymn when I hear about Bartimaeus being set free, being healed. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost and now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It's about the question that Jesus asked in this passage that I've been reading. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asks us all the same question. Is your question aligned with the will of the Father? So Jesus only does what the Father's will is. And he wants us to know him and trust him in these times. So the two incidents in the passage of Scripture where the two questions are asked is James and John were so focused on their ambition to be sitting with Jesus in glory. And the blind man whose sight was restored, it was God's will to heal him, which I shared in the Jesus purpose was written in Luke 4, which I already shared. So reflecting back to the rich man last week in the previous scriptures that Murray and Carolyn were sharing, to give up all his possessions and follow him, it was easier for the blind beggar who had nothing but his sight to follow Jesus. Just something to reflect on. So I've got some questions for you to reflect on. It's up to you. You can receive this or whatever. It's up to the Lord. But I was thinking, is there anything stopping you from following Jesus? Maybe we can ask Jesus, what do you want from me, Lord? What do you want from me, Lord? So that's it. So I just pray that the Lord would speak to you. So, Lord, what do you want us at this time, Lord? What do you want from me, Lord? The trouble is we're always seeking the hand of God. Help, 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 help. Even though he wants it, he knows it's before we ask. But we should be seeking his face. What do you want from me, Lord? That's what I was reflecting this week. So that's it. That's the message for today. So I just pray that you, just if it resonates with you, receive it. If it doesn't, it's fine. I'm not really a preacher, but if God's asked me to do this, well, I'm having a go. So I pray in the name of Jesus that you would bless these people that I love in the body of Christ, Lord, and I pray that you would just speak to their hearts and minister to them. And as they ask you questions, Lord, what do you want from us, Lord, at this season and this time? For these are exciting times we're living in and not so exciting, but, Lord, we will look to you in times of trouble. We will look to you, Jesus, for you are our life, you are our truth, you are the way, the truth and the life. And I think of that song, blessed be the Lord, blessed be the Lord. You give and take away, you give and take away. So as we surrender those things that we hold on to, Lord, that you would, that we would trust in you in these times and that we would be encouraged by your love and your freedom and your that you encourage us, Lord, and build us up to in your word to each one of us, Lord, because you know our hearts, Lord, and you know where we are and where we're at. And I just pray a blessing on each one in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So, any questions?